Thank you again, Pastor, for allowing us to come and to spend these days with you together. I leaned over to Brother Randy and said, welcome to the National Quartet Convention. I tell you, we've had some singing here tonight. Yeah. Amen. Didn't have to pay $30 either, amen, to come. A ticket, but that's a blessing. And we'll do it again tomorrow night, Lord willing. Right here tomorrow night at 7 o'clock and Friday night at 7 o'clock. And, of course, Sunday, wonderful Sunday coming up. And father-daughter banquet Saturday night. I've got a little appointment with my daughter to be there for that. I look forward to that. Thank you for coming tonight. I will preach a brief message. We've heard enough truth and song to save the world. Amen. Amen. But I know you've come to hear the word of God, and I do not want to shun that. I tell you what, I could just give the invitation. I don't know about you, but my heart was touched. Amen. By seeing these young men over here praying together. That's what it's going to take for America to have any hope. Yes. For some young men and some young women to get on fire for God. Right. Not be ashamed of Christ. Not be ashamed to seek the Lord. And that's what this revival is all about. And so we just bring you again greetings from the great state of Texas. It's so good to be here. We drove through fires Friday, Monday night as we left Houston, Texas. A late Monday afternoon. Coming up to East Texas, the biggest fires are in central and south central Texas. But we literally, my children can testify, it was scary. We drove right down the highway where there were fires all up and down the highway, all ominous sight. And these are unusual days. But I'm sure glad God's on his throne, amen? I'm glad he's in control. I'm glad I'm saved. If I tell you what, the way this world's going, if you're in here tonight without Jesus as your Savior, you're in the right place to get that settled. Amen? Because you need the Lord, my friend. I don't know how people can even stand to be alive today without the Lord. It's fearsome enough knowing how this thing's going to turn out. If you're here without Jesus, you have that emptiness and that guilt and that sadness and loneliness and hopelessness. Without Christ, there is no hope. But tonight, you can find hope, and there is hope in Christ. There's life in Christ. There's victory in Jesus. So tonight, if you're not saved, we encourage you to come in a moment and trust in Christ as your Savior. Receive him and accept him as you would a gift, because salvation is a gift tonight. You can receive the gift of eternal life. Before I begin, I want to thank this church for praying. I know you pray daily for the Rochesters, and I've continued to pray daily for this church and this pastor as I pray every day for Brother Barefield and his church. We pray for this church every day, and I thank you for those of you who pray for us. I had hoped that when I stood before you this year, this face, those of you who've never met before, I don't want to talk much about that, but I hadn't always looked this way, but I did a brain surgery on me, left this side paralyzed, and we're still praying for God to do a miracle in that. Amen. We're facing a surgery in December. They're going to try to straighten that out. But I just want to tell you, as I told you last year, the tumor, the surgery took my smile, but it did not take my joy. I still have the joy of the Lord in my soul. Amen. I have his joy. I praise the Lord tonight. So I have a smile down here, and I'm thankful for the joy of the Lord tonight. I've never had a greater time in my life. These are exciting days, and I know that these are challenging days, but I want to preach about that tonight. Take your Bible, turn to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, I want to begin reading tonight as you stand together in verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verse number 1. I'll be reading down through verse 4. Reading four verses of Scripture. Of course, tomorrow night, Brother Scott Matthews will be preaching for us. I love to hear him. I missed him last night. We got in as he was just about getting ready to preach, or had started preaching, and I didn't want to come in and distract him, but I know you were blessed by our fellow evangelist, Brother Scott Matthews, and you'll be challenged tomorrow night as he preaches to our hearts on Thursday night, Brother Scott. So glad to be here tonight. Would you say amen? The word of God says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Our Father, tonight we surrender to our King, our Master, and our Lord. Father, thank you, Jesus, for being the captain of our salvation. And thank you, Lord, for calling us by grace out of sin and into your wonderful fellowship. We thank you tonight for Victory Baptist Church. We thank you again for Brother Randy today. We thank you for our Pastor Kennedy and his wife and family and this church family that we've loved so deeply through the years. Thank you, Father, for this service. Thank you for allowing Brother Merrifield and Miss Donna and Miss Kathy Moore to be here and other guests from around the area. Bless these, our guests tonight. We again pray for the Parham family as they prepare for the service tomorrow. Father, we thank you now for this hour, for how our hearts have been stirred and thrilled by the songs. Thank you for the talent that you've given these wonderful singers and musicians. And thank you that they're consecrated unto you, Father. Continue to bless the Rochesters. And continue to help our family as we seek to glorify, magnify, lift up your name. Father, that's my goal tonight and my desire in this message, to be faithful to thy word. I pray that the word of God might be received with gladness and joy. Lord, your Holy Spirit might take the truths and make them real to us tonight. Lord, the invitation comes in a moment. I pray that the lost would come to know Jesus. Lord, trust you and turn to you in faith, repentant faith. And then, Father, I pray that every one of us who are saved would leave here tonight committed to being the soldier for Christ you called us to be. Thank you, Lord, for this good day. Help us now to be faithful. Fill the Spirit of God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. I want to preach tonight on the Christian soldier. The Christian soldier. I was driving up Highway 65 out of Nashville last evening and came past that exit there that says Fort Knox, where some soldiers are. Came up through Texas and Arkansas and saw National Guard armories and signs about forts and armories. And I tell you, tonight we are living in a day, in this hour, where our soldiers, for American soldiers, are fighting for our freedoms around the world. And for that, we ought to be grateful to God. Amen. Tonight, I want to talk about a different kind of soldier, the Christian soldier. The Lord in Scripture uses many words to describe and define his church. He describes us as his bride in the book of Ephesians. The church is his bride. He calls us salt in the Gospel of Matthew. He calls us light in the Beatitudes. He calls us ambassadors in 2 Corinthians 5. We're called seed sowers. We're called to be gospel farmers. That's another metaphor describing the role of the church. But here tonight in these pastoral epistles, 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul, inspired of the Spirit, is calling the church soldiers. He says in verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a what? A good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then the end of verse 4, he says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen us, or chosen him to be a soldier. Now, Paul often used military terms to describe the Christian walk, because the Bible makes it clear that, beloved, we are in a battle tonight. Amen. But the battle that we're in is not a carnal battle. It's not a fleshly battle. It's not a physical battle, but it's just as real as any battle that's ever been fought. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, "For though we walk out in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," that is fleshly, "but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." He says our battle, and make this clear and do not forget this. It's easy to forget it sometimes. That while the battle many times is manifested, is it not, in physical ways? I mean the cultural battles and the battles for decency and morality, the battles against the enemies like gambling and alcohol and drugs. And those things are visible manifestations of a much bigger battle. That's what I'm trying to say. The scripture says it's a spiritual battle. This drug war that we're fighting in America and in Mexico, it's really a spiritual battle. That word for witchcraft is pharmacia. It's a reference to the drug world. There's definitely, if you've been involved in drugs, and if you've been delivered from drugs, I want to tell you there was a spiritual stronghold there as well as a physical stronghold. And that battle, but don't forget the point I'm trying to make is we are soldiers in a battle against the kingdom of darkness. And the devil is the head of that other kingdom. But I'm glad tonight the captain of our salvation is the Lord Jesus. Amen. And I'm thankful, as the song says, I've read the back of the book, and if you're saved, you're on the winning side tonight. Amen. The outcome is already settled. We're just still in the battle right now. We used to sing the song, "When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown." Amen. We are to be, though, until the Lord calls us home. Until that time that we are graduated into heaven, as Brother Ernie was Sunday night. I want to tell you, church, we need a revival of Christian soldiers. Amen. We need some soldiers to re-understand and rededicate ourselves, young ladies, young men, to being soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in this text, for the next few moments, and I emphasize few, I want you to just consider how these verses describe the Christian soldier. Notice, first off, in verse 1, the empowerment of a good Christian soldier. Notice the empowerment. Where does he get his strength? Where does he get his fortification? Where does he get his power? Verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." I'm glad to report to you soldiers that our strength for battle is not in our muscular structure, not in our physical ability, not in our intellectual prowess, but our strength, our empowerment is coming to us straight from the grace of God. Amen. Oh, we serve God by grace. We do this battle by grace. It's not in me, and it's not in you. That's why God says it's not a physical battle. Because if it's a physical fight, we don't stand a chance. But I'm thankful the Bible says our victory comes through the pulling down of spiritual strongholds that only God can do. Amen? Oh, we serve. Church, listen. It's time that we realize, because sometimes soldiers get tired. Sometimes soldiers get weary. But I'm thankful tonight that we can draw strength, fresh power tonight, Victory Baptist Church, to fight on. To fight on. I'm not some of you, I've been in the battle for a while. And sometimes you get weary in the battle. And sometimes you get tired in the battle. And sometimes you want to throw in the towel in the battle. But I'm thankful here comes another load of grace. Amen. That will strengthen us and help us to have that endurance. The Bible says, be strong in what? Not the flesh. Not in yourself, but be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, I'm thankful His grace is sufficient. Aren't you glad for that? Hallelujah. Oh, we've got a fresh supply every day. Every day, new grace, more grace, extended grace, unexplained grace. But thank God, Brother Ronnie, we have His grace that just keeps us going. That just keeps on strengthening us and keeps on allowing us to serve Him. That's the empowerment of the good soldier. Notice secondly, in verse 2, the equipment of the good soldier. Described in verse 2. Here's our equipment. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. What is our equipment? Now listen, if you're going into battle, some of you guys have been in the military, and you know what it's like to handle military equipment. And of course, in Paul's day, the military equipment was his uniform and his battle weapon. And over in Ephesians chapter 6, most of you can quote this. Let me just read it to you. Paul describes our equipment for this battle. He says, verse 13 of Ephesians 6, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's our boot, that's our footwear. What's our footwear? The feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, to carry the gospel. That's our footwear. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith he should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Our offensive weapon in our military today, they have these high-powered automatic weapons, these machine guns, and all those military guns that they use. But back in these days, the soldier had one offensive weapon. It was his sword. And those swords were sharp and powerful and lethal and effective in battle. But again, our battle is not with a sword tonight. That's why we're not taking up arms, and we're not like those that try to bomb an abortion clinic or attack and beat up those. We don't fight the Lord's battle like that. Amen. That's not our way of fighting. Ours is better, because our weapon is the sword of the Spirit of God. Amen. You see, this sword is unlike any sword man ever made, because this one's heaven made. Amen. This was stamped in heaven. Amen. It's eternal. And this sword is unusual. You see, man's swords cut from the outside in, but God's sword cuts from the inside out. Amen. It cuts you to the heart. And it's authoritative. It's powerful. And the thing that he's talking about in verse 2, when the Apostle Paul told this young preacher Timothy to be a soldier, here's his equipment. He says, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. The things. You know what he's talking about there? He's talking about the doctrine. He's talking about the truths, the biblical truths, the great doctrines of Scripture. That's why throughout these epistles, the Apostle Paul admonishes us to study and to meditate upon doctrine, to know your Bible, know your Scriptures. Well, if you're in the military, you men remember when that drill sergeant talked about knowing your weapon, learning your weapon, being able to clean your weapon in the dark, in a blindfold. They would blindfold soldiers and make them take their weapon apart and put it back together in a blindfold to know your weapon. And if that's true in a physical battle, how much more true is it being equipped, fully equipped, as a spiritual soldier? We need to know our Bible inside and out. Amen? It's our primary weapon. It's the most important weapon on earth. My friend, it's a weapon that you can't fight without. Amen. But there's no defense against the Word of God. Oh, I know the liberal crowd tries to ignore it, tries to diminish it, tries to debate it, tries to deny it. That doesn't bother us because we know the author of this book, amen. And we know the power of this book. And it's time that some soldiers in the army of God tonight rediscover the importance of the equipment called the Word of God and sound doctrine. Amen. We're living in a crazy world of false doctrines, false teachers, false religious systems, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, all these isms that'll be wasms one day, but they're isms tonight. They come knocking on our door. They come on our television, on our radio, and they come to all different ways trying to bombard us with false doctrine. How are you going to know the truth if you don't know your Bible? Amen. So not only did we find in this text the empowerment of the soldier and the equipment of the soldier, but notice thirdly, he describes in verse 3 the endurance of a good Christian soldier. He describes in verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He didn't say endure hardness as a well-intentioned person. He didn't say endure hardness